Jason being around to cover.
Six o'clock, and it's time to start our meeting, and I'm glad you all came.
For Banfield.
We are going to begin with a pledge and invocation, or invocation and pledge, and John's going to lead us in that.
Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your many blessings and gifts. The greatest of these is your Son, Jesus Christ, our redemption. We are thankful that you have sustained this great nation, our freedoms, and our way of life. We humbly pray for your guidance, wisdom, and direction as the world unfolds according to your will. We humbly pray for the reins that sustain us. As we gather in this city council meeting, we ask for peace and unity among all members and citizens. We acknowledge the diverse religious beliefs, backgrounds, and life experience of individual council members and the citizens we serve. Help us to work collaboratively for the benefit of our community. May all our decisions improve the lives and well-being of our citizens. We pray our actions will reflect kindness and understanding and foster harmony and strength within our city. For these things, we pray in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the pledge. Ready to begin?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, John. First on the agenda, we have Nick from the fire department to report on all the fires going on.
Yeah, there's. So I'll try and keep it brief, but it is kind of our busy time of year, so we are round and down. We've got a lot going on. So just locally, we had a total of 524 calls for service throughout the whole district. 30 of those calls happened in Laverkin City. We had one fire, 18 EMS calls, and 11 other calls for service. And I guess my understanding is that BC Harmon was able to come last board meeting, or excuse me, city council meeting to give a presentation. I wanted to be there, but unfortunately I wasn't usually designated the job, so I assumed it was good information.
He mentioned that he could help us do what we needed to do to be compliant with that.
I think they said that's drawn up.
It is drawn up?
And he's got I saw a draft of it.
Okay.
So just to kind of report a little bit on fires that we have throughout the state, and we have sent quite a few individuals out on fires. So I spoke earlier, I don't remember, we have what's called a REMS team. It's a rapid extraction module support team. They've been out on two different fires. The first one they went on was the Bonneville fire here in Utah up north. And then they were there for 7 days, and then they came back, were redeployed almost immediately to the Wild Goose fire, which is Eureka and Lysipial, and that's where they're at right now. We also have our seasonal employees out. They were on the Iron Fire, and they will be coming back soon. They have mandatory R&R days that they have to take, and then they'll be redeployed as well. We also had two other teams. One other team was another Type 6 team, it's just a smaller truck, and they were also sent out to the Wild Goose fire. And then the big fire, the largest fire that we've had in Utah this year, it's almost 93,000 acres, is the Cottonwood fire by Beaver. We had a structure team, so we sent out a structure engine. They were doing their best to keep cabins and structures from burning down, and they were there for 14 days to get straight to back off of that, so they'll be deployed again as well. So. And because of all the wildfire things that's going on, that kind of spurred Governor Cox to issue an executive order, and I'm sure he's aware of it, and maybe you have questions about that, but it does help us to limit the fireworks and the ban fireworks in certain areas. So if you guys have any questions about anything anything that we've not talked about or
any questions?
Questions, concerns?
I do. They've said you know, the Hurricane Fire said they want us to not have any fireworks period in any of these cities, right, in your jurisdiction?
No personal fireworks.
Right. So is there any leeway if we decided tonight that we can do them in the park and here at the baseball diamond?
So yes, in that executive order, he gives discretion to the mayor and the fire chief that they could come up with.
No, I know that. Okay. Governor Cox's, but with your sentiments, like from the fire department, are they okay?
You want my opinion on it, or
no? What we don't want to be going against your.
Just tell him no fireworks, and then he'll be quiet.
Our sentiment is no fireworks.
So is there? Is that because of lack of manpower? I mean, we're always. I think Hurricane or Laverne is certainly in a different boat with fires than say, you know, Bay or a city that has a lot of trees around them and a lot of.
I disagree. We do have a lot of potential for fire here in Laverne, and just the small grass that catches on fire, it has. On two separate occasions, 2 months ago, it caught structures on fire as well.
But that's so our normal, like July 4th, we always have that grass. And there's probably less this year because there's been no water.
It's not less.
Okay.
All right. I do know, and to piggyback on what Dan is saying, one of the concerns we had at the staff meeting was if we allow them in the park, we're the only ones.
In the district.
We'll have everybody from all the other communities coming over and fighting up. That was a concern that we brought up this morning.
Another.
Save them for next year, Dan.
Next year's not the 250th anniversary.
That's all right. They'll fire then, too. I still have some from about 5 years ago.
Another concern, I guess, is that map to designate where those fireworks could be lighted is. Put in yesterday by 5, so it's kind of past the point.
So I guess, you know, what Darren's asking, and it's kind of my thought too, is there a difference in fire conditions this year than last year and the year before?
There is. It's, we haven't seen as dry and as low relative humidity in years past. It's significant. More dangerous. And luckily, someone got to it quickly, but COLAB just an hour ago, they had a side-by-side that caught on fire and caught some brush on fire, but there was people close enough that they got it out before it spread. So we dodged 2 bullets on COLAB this year.
I was just going to ask you about COLAB.
Yeah. The other one was a lot more significant. This was last month. I think it would have happened this month. It would have caught the whole mountain.
That was the tree cutting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, by Blue Springs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a bullet. It was mm-hmm. dodged.
So one question. So the guy last week was talking about like properties and like making sure you have like the 5-foot path around the house and things like that, trimming down areas on like the lower parts of the trees. Mm-hmm. So. I understand. I know it's probably more on the homeowner, but what if, like, you see, like, across the street from me, there's a pine tree that's just a match waiting to happen. Is that just a property owner's? Is there anything that the fire department can do for that?
Yeah, so there is something the fire department can do, and as part of that agreement that was signed with the state is that we do a certain amount of mitigation work. And so it's on our wildland crew to do that. But because they're out on fires right now, they can't do the mitigation work. They usually do that during the winter months. And so they assess the most, where they get the most bang for the buck, and they would go help mitigate those areas. So, and it's throughout the entire district that they have to deal with.
Okay.
Any other questions? Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Next on the agenda, we have the consent agenda. There's Unless there's any discussion on that, I'll entertain a motion.
Mayor, I'll make the motion that we approve the consent agenda, including the declarations of conflict of interest, meeting minutes, June 17, 2026, working regular meetings, and checks and invoices for $68,766.56.
Do we have a second?
Yeah, I'll second.
Okay, John?
Yes.
Amanda?
Yes.
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 Mike and Darren?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. First item on the agenda tonight is consideration and possible action to approve resolution R2026-14, a resolution setting the certified tax rate for Dworkin City for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2026. Kyle, tell us all about that.
The county gives us, it's always late. They always give us late after we pass their budget, and we just have to do it. We're late doing it, but we've been late the last 15 years, so everybody is. So when we do the budget, I always guess low, that there's a little bit of extra money, because now we know exactly how much we're able to get from the property tax.
And we haven't raised our property tax in a lot of years, have we?
No, we haven't done. Property taxes based on the value, so the mill levy will go up and down.
But
what it is the amount of dollars that you actually can get, and they always figured in some inflationary costs.
But we've not done
it. Not since I've been here.
And we're about middle of the road as far as?
Mill levy wise, what we collect.
As far as the other cities?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, any questions, comments? Entertain a motion then.
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we approve resolution R2026-14, resolution setting the certified tax rate for the Dworkin City for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2026.
I'll second that.
Our motion is second. Darren?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Amanda?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Okay, next item is consideration and possible action to approve orders 2026-16. An ordinance amending the Dworkin City Animal Control Code. Who wants to take that? One of you two.
Let me take it. So we just had a singular case come up in 2025, and with that case, there was just some verbiage that wasn't clear enough for complete prosecution in the case. We just wanted to work on that. And then when we worked on that, we added another word that is now gone. So it's just going to focus on the residential area, nothing to do with commercial. I'm hoping that clarifies what we're doing. And then down the road, as the city grows and other things happen, we can address that.
Okay.
At a later date.
Any comments or questions?
I just had one, and it carried over more from the previous meeting. How did we come up with number four? Was there, you know, four dogs, you know, for that?
Most cities, just based on what other cities allow.
Most other cities,
yeah. And that's, we're in the higher number.
Yeah. That includes service animals, right?
Correct.
In Hurricane, you can only have two unless you've got a conditional use permit.
Weren't we three before? Or we always been four?
I think it was five a couple of years ago.
Oh, I thought it was three.
I don't remember three. Was it three? I
could be wrong.
I remember it was a large number before. I can go back. It was in 2023 when we.
And I didn't think it should be higher. I just, lately we have a neighbor that sounds like maybe have six or seven or eight, but I wonder if it's four, but it's a lot.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, as far as just, you know, it's a lot.
We allow the provision of those puppies, you know, and then there's an age at that, and we tried to, and we have helped in the last couple of years, families that have,
you know, had a litter or something that was unexpected, mm-hmm. and then we try to help them place them through our volunteers and through the other organizations.
Yeah, no, and I think that's understandable. I just was curious, like poor adult dogs, you know,
yeah.
if whether that was based on averages from other cities.
And I bet if we go around, I'm thinking that the majority of people have two or less. Four seems, yeah, I know.
A handful.
Well, I think part of the problem was people were claiming that they were service animals, and now we've
right.
made four, and that includes service animals and everything.
Yeah, the prior ordinance that's in place right now says no more than four, but the exception is for the dogs that has a litter while those dogs are, you know, growing up.
It makes sense, yeah.
And then the other exception was for emotional support animals and those kinds of things. So that opened the door then for people to have as many as 9 or 10 dogs. They claimed, oh yeah, these are my emotional support animals. And so that's really what we tried to eliminate. When we came last meeting, we limited it to four, but excluded the dogs who were part of a litter and just being weaned and hadn't been weaned yet. And we also had it applied to commercial property, mm-hmm. and that was one of the big concerns. Is, well, what if people want to come in and establish a business and da 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 da. So what this one does is eliminates commercial altogether. We're only talking about residential, so we don't have a problem with every person that checks into the hotel has a dog. That's not an issue. This just applies to residential property. And the exception to the four dog rule is puppies where, which are the offspring of a dog, which is included in the number of permissible dogs. And then the other exception is, that we just wrote in, is that dogs are kept or maintained as a residential dwelling, which is licensed as a doggy daycare, a dog sitting business or something. They have to come in and get a business license, and then they're able to have more than four dogs if they're licensed properly in a residential area.
Sounds good. I think that B section covered a lot of what we were concerned about the last time. So,
any other comments or questions? Entertain a motion then.
Mayor, I'd make a motion adopting resolution R-2026-15, resolution adopting, not that one. R resolution 2026-16, an ordinance amending Broken City Animal Control Code.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second
that. Our motion is second. All those in favor say aye.
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 No opposed? Next item is consideration and possible action to approve the proposed Mantis merchandise fireworks contract.
A little awkward.
And purchase order for Winterfest fireworks. We can do it in winter, can't we? We're okay?
I assume so, yes. I don't know how long that is in order. So
I think it was for until the 7th. Or the 5th, it was July 5th.
July 5th.
Yeah. Okay. So, anyway, we want to do fireworks, right?
We want.
Okay. Any comments or questions? You okay with that, everybody?
I love the fireworks, so I'm for it.
Okay. Entertain a motion then.
I'll make a motion to approve the proposed Lantis merchandise contract purchase order and Winterfest fireworks. Is there a resolution on that?
We're just approving the purchase order. To second, do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Mrs. Money, Darren?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Amanda?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Next, we have consideration to an action to approve resolution R2026-15, a resolution adopting electronic device reimbursement policy for the mayor, city council members to facilitate electronic distribution and review of city meetings material. This would be $500 for each council member and the mayor to get a device like Scott's got and Micah's got here so that Amanda doesn't have to do the, I mean, Nancy doesn't have to do the copying to have the all of the stuff, like the resolutions and stuff for us. So we're not looking on our phones trying to try and read them there. So.
Yeah, what it's really designed to do is to help in the meeting. You may not get a lot of the information that accompanies the agenda, but if you have your device, then you're able to look at all those additional bits of information that we send out.
Like the one we have
rather
tonight.
Rather than trying to scroll through on your phone and trying to find stuff, which is very difficult and annoying, I think. So this helps to do that. So it should help our meetings run better and smoother and help the council see things more quickly and easily. The way it works is instead of just giving each of you $500, you've got to go out and get something, bring the receipt back, and then you can get reimbursement. And the reason we do it that way is to make sure that we don't run afoul of provisions that say you're being compensated, your compensation is being increased. That's why we've done it that way.
And I looked at, just so you know, Costco, they had an iPad there, and it was $399. If you want any of the extra stuff over the $500, that would be on you. And it would be the responsibility of everybody to bring their own device, knowing that it's your device, but anything that is city-related can be grandma requested. That's what they need.
What does it cost for one, like these guys with the keyboard on it?
I didn't look at
the keyboard's just a
it's kind of separate. It's part of the cover and protect the thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's separate.
Oh.
So yours is just an iPad.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just an iPad with a Bluetooth keypad that just attaches to it.
Okay. You can use a PC or anything.
Yeah, I can get whatever you want. It's
I mean, I would think the $399, this might be $100 or less to get that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so you can probably get set up with
something. But you can be reimbursed up to $500. Now, if you have something great, and we've built it in so that in the event someone that wants to go longer than 4 years, every 4 years, that stipend can come into place for whatever reason needs to be updated.
Okay. Any discussion from the council?
Just one, is there a time frame on when you could have purchased said laptop or iPad?
Whenever you want to do it. I mean, it's good.
Well, I purchased one in January, right after like the first meeting, but it's through Amazon, so I still have the receipt. But
I don't know the answer to that.
Pay
what you pay. As long as she turns in her receipt, she bought it in January. Is there a problem with that?
I don't think so.
Okay. There you go.
Good.
Good deal.
Keeping the receipts, that's a good thing.
Well, Amazon makes it easy. A digital receipt.
Yeah. Does everybody understand though, the grandma thing, that it is subject to that? You need to be able to get email on it and all that stuff. If you choose to get something besides an iPad or the other kind.
The laptop, you mean?
Samsung or whatever. You want to get a small, you know, like this, or this is a bigger than normal, but it'll be on you guys. But you can get up to $500.
We have a new budget, and you can think you can find the money?
Don't, man. Right now we are flush. We've got money we don't even know what to do with.
July
1st, all the budgets are at the top, and give us 30 days, we'll be right where we belong.
Okay, well.
But the receipts, if they would come to me, because I need to make sure I know where the money's coming out.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion for this.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2026-15, adopting electronic device reimbursement policy for the mayor and city council members to facilitate electronic distribution and review of city meeting materials.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, John?
Yes.
Amanda?
Yes.
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Darren?
Yes.
Okay. Next item is consideration of possible action to approve resolution R-2026-16, a resolution prohibiting the discharge of fireworks within the boundaries of Lorican City during the month of July 2026. This came about because of the governor's deal. Any other questions or comments? We already talked a little bit about it, but
do we have a received refund policy we can institute on that?
Or
like if we get a big rainstorm?
My wife's husband spent $300, so about 3 or 4 days before the order, she was wondering if we could get reimbursed.
Hey, I spent a bunch of money 5 years ago for my grandson. I went out to set him off, and the neighbors were setting him off, and he ran in the house, and he says, no, we're not going to do this. So I still have them.
Yeah.
I'll give them to somebody if they...
I guess it's better
for
than
a winter fest. any other comments?
Well, for the whole month, what if we get like a big bunch of rain, one of those monsoons coming in?
If we do by the next city council, then we could make another change, right? Right?
I'm sorry.
He wants to know if we got a whole bunch of rain between now and the 24th, if we could change it. I said by the next city council meeting, I guess we probably could.
Yeah, we sure would. Yeah, do that. Are you praying for rain?
Yeah. Every day.
I think we should all be doing the rain dance.
Yes, we certainly could do that. This resolution is only for the month of July 2026.
Yeah.
So if something happens, you know, in the next few days.
Yeah, it's 105 or 6 in the next few days, I think. So, no rain. Anyway, I'll entertain a motion here, too.
Mayor, I'll make a motion to approve resolution R-2026-16, resolution prohibiting the discharge of fireworks within the boundaries of Lorican City during the month of July 2026.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
One.
Darren's opposed. Okay. Uh-oh.
Power outage, here's a fire.
Oh, my goodness.
I was like, if I
knew.
No, you need to turn it off. Okay.
It
goes dark and we can get out
of
it quicker.
It'll flip off again.
Okay, next item is discussion regarding the irrigation project concerning citizens' backyard connections for compensation for that. Derek, do you want to take a minute and explain what we're talking about there?
Yes, sir. So many of you may have already received a letter that shows a map of your property, shows where the existing culinary water line is, and where the irrigation the city would put in would be preferred to go, to stick with our current ordinance, to be within 3 feet of the water meter on one side or the other. But we also recognize the fact that a lot of people have concreted in and around the water meters. There's no availability to get the box anywhere near the meter. And they need to go some other place on the property. So we send out almost 600 letters for people to go, and if they like the placement, they can sign it and send it in. If they don't, they can mark it where they want it. And we take it to our engineers every week, and then they change the plan so we can get a better understanding. So the question becomes, as we're talking to people, and there are a lot of people that are calling daily, is what's the city going to do to help compensate me to make my connection from the front to the back? We talked about a few things. One, maybe buying a bunch of pipe and people that, like I know Mike, you have a long, because you're going to be out on Main Street, you got a long, a deep long talking about, and I can't remember, Mayor, if there was an ability with the funding that comes, and under the funding that was given to us by the district, that there was a potential that we could come up with the square foot price, and which would make sense for people with longer yards, and say, okay, the city's willing to give you, say, $500, $600 to help you get hire somebody to get your get that line moved to the back so you can make that connection where your sprinklers have always been connected. So that's kind of where we're sitting, and that's the biggest question that we are not able to answer with people calling. And it's big for a lot of people that don't have a lot of money, so I think there needs to be some type of participation from the city. And like I said, I don't remember, because we've talked about it off and on, if there is money left in the funding project, if that money could go towards that, or if the city may just have to figure out a way to buy pipe and help in that manner. But we can't really get tied up in going to every single place in the city trying to tie every line back on if we just don't have that capacity.
How many do you think there are that are connected in the back? I mean, you probably know that.
We know at least the 550-something homes we send out are all backyard connections.
I mean, that's, you just roughly say $1,000, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. Is that in the budget? You find that much?
Not that much.
He's flush. But he said, flush with cash.
Yeah, this is not happening until 6 months. Well,
and remember, so this, the home, we will be starting November 16th, the project. So we're going to go this year and probably most of next year before we come off of our old system. So there's some time to start thinking about things. Some people have been good, say, hey, I'm already finishing that area. I'll put it down here and put the box right here and we're good to go. That's not been the majority of the
day. Is there any way of contacting the water district and seeing if we can use that money for that? Or if we build it into the bid?
I can talk to Trinity. It feels like we had this conversation and we were good to go and then we weren't good to go. And then they said we could spend it as long as it went towards our secondary system. We're meeting with them tomorrow.
I think there is some language in there that it had to be for the secondary system, but I don't know if they would agree to that, but they might.
But I mean, that would be part of the secondary system, right?
It is, yeah.
Connecting into this, back into the new system. So, because I know right now the way that we're looking good as far as what the project's looking cost-wise right now, so there is a good possibility. Potentially there could be some available money, but I'll carry that with Trinity tomorrow. And to see if there's any language in the contract.
When will we know how much? I mean, first off, we got to decide how much we're going to, how this is going to work. It's just a discussion item tonight, but at some point, we're going to need a number.
Won't be until see how we're September.
And then you guys are going to have to decide how we're going to do that. If we can use the county or the water district money, that would be great. But if they tell us no, which I know it's part of the secondary system, but I'm betting they're thinking they're part of the secondary system goes to the meter or to where the box is.
I mean, there's just so much to this. I mean,
every house is different.
I mean, we're talking supplies, but I mean, if you've got to cut through asphalt or cement, then.
Well, and they give you the option that if you can move, it doesn't have to be by the water meter, you can move it to where you need to make it the least troublesome to get back to your backyard. So.
Yeah, I'm just thinking length of the yard, anyways, labor, I mean, there's just so many things, so many variables in it.
I could get hold of some landscaping people and just have them give me some pricing on what they would take on a typical lot versus a long lot, like your lot, or even yours, and then just, you know, right, one of our single lots, maybe we could figure out or come up with a square foot price, and then take that same thing and see what the cost would be if we were just to supply material.
Is it a square foot price or a linear foot?
Linear foot.
Is this going to change connection, you know, sizes? Because what if you have to replace valves and, you know, how many sprinklers you're running on a valve? I mean, there's just a lot.
We're hoping, like, we know that there's properties out there where they're going to require more than 1-inch connection. We're identifying these properties with either a 2 or a 3. But we also know that because of all the looping that we're doing, that we're going to provide more volume. So I don't think the worry is going to be as great as not being able to provide enough pressure for how systems are already set up because of getting everything looped and everything's pressurized now, so we have an ability to ramp up the system a little bit if we needed to. It would be, like for me, if I have a long yard, I would probably run an inch connection come in, I'd probably run like 1.25 inches up to my valve box and then reduce down into my valves from there.
Well, yeah, I'm just thinking like, you know, so for example, I've got, I think, 2-inch valves, so I can run a lot of sprinklers on that, but if you reduce down to an inch, you're not going to be able to run.
You have a 3-inch connection right now? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have 3-inch connections coming.
And you have a field you're watering, right?
Right.
So,
yeah, I'm the same. I've got a 2-inch connection to the street.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, some of those people, based on their valves, you put in a certain amount of sprinklers on the line because they can do it, and you move it down to 1-inch.
Yeah, there's some that are going to be that way, and they're going to need the bigger connection because of that. I already talked to you about that with my
connection, Micah's connection, Darren's connection. There's going to be
and there's others.
People that come in, there are a ton of people coming in every day. So we're doing the best we can to make sure we ask them the right questions on what they're, you know, what they have, what they expect. So we're gathering as much information as we can. We're not going to get it 100% right.
Is there, for this discussion, is there something like a minimum of maybe providing the pipe that we could agree to? That
just a thought, but should we be concerned about the city's exposure in providing pipe to somebody? And I'm thinking from maybe a legal aspect, but what if there was a pipe failure in this space between the city's property and back to that connection? And what if that caused, you know, settling? What if that caused the house to settle in the most, I'm thinking of the most catastrophic situation? No.
It wouldn't be our liability if we just gave the pipe. But if we installed the
if
pipe,
we gave the pipe as part of that, does that open us up to exposure?
I don't think so.
Would we be better to create a budget and allow somebody to choose what they decided to do with it? I just don't think that I would feel comfortable with opening up any more exposure to the city legally by trying to do a good thing. I just want to, like, if we're thinking of a path of providing pipe or providing materials, and let's say that they were, I mean, then you don't have control about how they're installed, and what if that turned into a legal, you know, a legal dispute? I really don't want to be able to see us get drug into something like that. A budget of just a blanket dollar amount.
Can we do a whole harmless agreement, Faye? Mm-hmm. We could do a whole harmless agreement.
Yeah,
make them sign that before they.
Well, then you could cap the amount of this and set value.
Sure.
You'd be better off that.
That might be from an exposure standpoint, when we start digging in people's yards, utilities and settling and future breaks, I think may want to be considered.
Fair. Yes. Calvin Prince mentioned that maybe this is something that we do take to the water board and let them chime in on it.
Didn't we talk about that a little bit on our last meeting? Or?
No.
Huh?
No,
we didn't?
That would be nice to hear from the water board what their suggestions are.
I'm still going to get some linear foot prices from some landscapers that install it, just to get some idea so you have kind of a somewhat of an idea. What would it be if we were just to get so much money?
But that's going to be
potentially a big number.
And the variable between is going to be all over the place. But at the same point, I don't think that we'd want to. I think we ought to be very cautious about of giving exposure to the city, but trying to do the kind of thing.
And if I want to cap it, how much one person can give, I don't know if that's something.
Well, I mean, you look at Micah's situation, he's going to need a 3-inch line compared to somebody with a 1-inch line.
Yeah.
So, and there's going to be those who need a 2-inch and a bigger line. And so those are, there's a big difference in the cost just in the pipe materials. And as far as the trenching goes, it wouldn't be a whole lot of difference. I wouldn't think if you run a trencher for, and put a 3-inch pipe in one.
Do we need to figure out a way to verify, not saying that people wouldn't do this, but the possibility that, okay, you say you need a 3-inch line or a 2-inch line or whatever. We need to verify that so that they don't just give a 2-inch line and...
It's all going to be metered, right?
Well,
no, it won't be metered yet.
No, not hopefully not for a long time. We're prepared for it, but the way we're going to end up with the open, we're going to hide it in it, so we can't stay up to meter, but we'll be metering now.
We're still going to have Virgin River water on every pond, and it's, when it floods, the water will be muddy looking, but hopefully we'll settle the majority of the stuff out of the pond. But you're still going to get some muddy looking water.
Well, my situation is probably unique to where I front two different roads, two different streets. You know, so where it's at is it a street, it's just not paved yet.
Yeah. Could that be considered where the access point comes, is along the top of his property, and we just leave it like it is?
The only problem, and I'd have to look at that, because it could be a thing, is...
That's a future, could be a future street.
That's 100 East going all the way to 300.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of those lots that are south or north of you might get are all deep lots with potential to subdivide off, right? So it's almost like you have to have it. Would the division of the property have enough frontage to create another lot? You know what I mean? To have a connection up on 100 East or a connection down on Main Street. So maybe that's the thing we need to look at. You probably do that sort of have to keep yours up where it's at.
Well, just money, the city and everything, and it's there, but I don't think that's a very common scenario. But we'll have a few like that in the city.
So maybe we need to look at having that as a potential possibility. Go out and identify some of those areas and make that. Because if we can save some money and provide closer connections off of the city street, right, cause that's what we're trying to do, right. That would seem to make some sense.
There's going to be exceptions. We need to create somebody that they go to for those exceptions, a board or a group, or is that just going to be handled by the staff?
Well, I just thought we would handle like with the Alua type.
That's exactly. That's what I was wondering, because there could be there's going to be some unique situations. Everybody's going to have different needs.
People have been more supportive of it than we thought they would be. But they're just concerned as how they can get that connection made.
I think most people realize in the end we're getting to a better, mud-free,
way better,
leaky-free.
When the city's losing a lot of responsibility for all the flooding, because everything's in the backyard, it doesn't take much for it to break and flood somebody fast, get it out where we can deal with it.
Yeah.
Let's buy one of those hogs for people.
We've had enough of that.
Is that great everything?
If they can hit a pipe, they will.
they go right through.
They've hit an 8-inch line, a 4-inch line. We
really?
Two houses. Oh, yeah.
Is that the fiber piece?
Yeah. Well, so we didn't. Don't really have a solution right now.
Well, but give me some ideas to come back to you with. Potential costs that you could look at.
And we could run it by the water board. We could get a meeting prior to, what, October? Nancy?
Yeah.
We can just call a special meeting, discuss that. Okay.
That'll give me a chance to talk to Trinity too, see if that's not.
Yeah, that'd be good. Okay. Last item on the agenda is discussion regarding July 4th and 24th celebration schedule for the city council members. Meredy, tell us what we got to do.
Well, I've been sending you some information, but you don't have to do anything. On this Friday, the 3rd, there's a block party here at the 111 building. It starts at 6 o'clock, and we're going to officially ring the bell. The police know we're ringing the bell the other day, trying to get it into the right setup. But officially ring the bell on, and Victor Iverson's going to say a few words. They made a pretty large donation to the bell, and some citizens will be singing the national anthem and a few things like that. And then there's going to be a free concert inside the building, and there's food trucks and things like that. We're not having sparklers, so we're keeping the fireworks. But I did get little flags and some fiber optic ones for the kids to replace that. And then I was going to ask, Mayor, do you want to conduct that, or do you just want me to conduct that?
Well, I'm happy to let you do
that. I knew
do
that that's what you would say.
Thanks for asking.
I'm happy to let you do it as well. And then the next day, we'll start with the parade. There'll be a float here. It's my side-by-side, and I got a new trailer at the end of the fiscal year, so you guys have a new trailer on the back, and the pickle, the gherkin, will be with you. And
are we starting here, or?
He'll be on the float.
No, is it starting here or
yeah,
at the
fifth? Yeah, it starts here 7:30 on okay. Saturday morning. Okay. And then it's actually going to, a few of you, I think, responded, Amanda and Duren said that you'd find driving, so I don't care. Whichever ones you want to drive, so there's enough room for all of you, so you won't be too crowded. And then if whoever drives will just bring it, I'll have a spot reserved, just bring it right down to the pavilion. Because I need to take my side-by-side off to pull the train for the kids down at the park. And also the gherkin and everybody needs to go to the park. So I'll reserve a spot for you guys just to pull in at the pavilion. And then at that point, under the white, where the carnival is, there'll be a spot that's made for the 250 cake, birthday cake and ice cream. And balloons, and if you guys can help with that, that will all be set up and ready just down there. And it's just why it's impossible to know how much of that stuff to get, so it's always just while supplies last. And
will we start serving that right from the beginning?
Yeah, just as you get down there, people are pretty. We're going to have you might want to take a minute for the American Legion to raise the flag, and we'll have a prayer on the event at the flag. That we usually, just as people kind of come in, you know, that's how it always is, the parade kind of gathers. They come in, I'll announce that we're going to raise the flag, and there'll be a prayer, and then bingo. We're not going to do another program because we did one the night before, so we're going to do bingo under the pavilion, and the Mountain Bible Church is doing hot dogs and water, and that's what they always do, they're awesome. And so that'll start serving, and we have a lot extra. It is bigger. There's bounce houses and battle ball and obstacle courses, and so there's more going on. Train rides, and yeah, there's a lot going on. And the timeline walk is up, and people can go to do that as they want to. I think that's everything for the 4th. And then on the 24th, that's put on by the Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints, and it's Lower Arkham 6th Ward that is leading that. Laurel Wilson is their representative. She has reached out to me, and I've already ordered the food like we always do. in conjunction with the church and the and Davis Market. They donate part of that. I upped the pancakes and breakfast meat because I think we've been short. So I upped that a little bit this year. Of course, we'll still be short. They just eat as much as we make. But I upped that a little bit. But the order's in, and I think they're just expecting the same thing after the parade. There'll be a float for you guys. And same time and everything. 7:30 here, go down there, and then they'll just, if you're just there, I believe it's Slobrick and 7th Ward is doing the breakfast. So they'll be there and they can put you to work.
Okay. Any questions for Meredy?
Are we throwing pickles from the floats?
The gherkins.
I mean, it fits, right?
Specifically gherkins. So not this time, but we do have some awesome American gherkin merch.
Yeah,
T-shirts.
And you can win it if you go play bingo.
Can you please make just a short list of those times and email that to us?
Okay, in the email it just is underlined the times, so I'll do it again. I can make it easier. I'll send it out to all of you.
Okay.
I mean, they're on the flyers, they're in the text message, but I'll just send you one of them. It's just times. And then other than that, and just this month, we are headed to second week in July. The Youth Council is headed to Utah State. For the team summit, so that's what else we're doing this month. So, the youth council will be on with you. They're going to ride their bikes, horses, and scooters, like with you guys along in the parade.
Good. Right. So. Okay.
Thank you,
Maddie. You do awesome.
Oh, thanks, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Next item is council, mayor and council reports. I don't have anything. John?
Yeah. We haven't met, so I don't have anything tonight.
Amanda?
Nope, haven't met recently. So.
Okay.
I was not at Ash Street, but you were. Was there anything special that was...
I think is that when we approved the money for the line conversion to... The sewer treatment plant? I think it is. Yeah, we did. We did that. And nothing really. It doesn't really affect us. Well, I guess it does because that's the line that they'll connect to up on top of the hill. Right. And so cool. I think Kyle can report on the sale up there of the property. So.
Yeah. The main thing we had at Ridge Creek was our audit report.
Oh, yeah. That was real entertaining.
No findings. Mayor was sleeping through that, so I thought I'd give him that.
Yeah.
I really missed out.
Now. You did. You missed out.
Why?
On that one.
That makes me feel bad.
We taped it for you, so.
Send that over. I'll be happy.
Write a book report.
Yeah.
I just had a question for Chief. Is that sweet cruiser out front, is it going to be in the parade?
Yes.
All right. I'm excited.
I've been working on it. I've been driving it. I've been called in.
Is that your new patrol car?
That was it.
Okay, Darren.
I mentioned last time about being chastised for calling it over the weekend, didn't I?
Calling what?
Did I tell you that? I was on the radio with Dell in the morning, and I was saying Leverkin, and this lady called in and really let me have it. You know, it is the work. And I'm like, I lived here all my life. I always call it the work. But anyway, it was quite humorous.
The Utah accent?
Do you guys say Leverkin or Leverkin?
Leverkin.
Are you not saying the same thing twice? Or am I like,
he says it in cursive.
Puts an A in there. Call it
like
saying
Leverkin. Leverkin.
I say Leverkin.
Yeah, you say it in cursive. Like, go back.
I don't say the word.
No. I've always said the word.
You did? Oh, okay. Well, she let me have it. Anyway, I was just going to mention that I had a chance to talk with D.R. Horton, who's probably going to be developing that property, and I really put the screws on that we need help with the trails.
Okay. Are they doing all of it?
They'll get their best guys on it.
Okay. Kyle?
Yeah, I was just going to mention what Darren said. The company is Grenoble, and they're just site preparers, and they've already been in contact with D.R. Horton about combining forces with all that 900 acres up there or whatever. I do know that D.R. Horton has been good to work with Washington, but they don't want as much density as we'll allow. We don't need to allow them to put cookie cutter. It's our decision to put it. Now, some of that was set, but there is going to need to be some more housing that we've said that we'd work with them on that, but it doesn't have to be all that way. And
you told me we didn't want a Long Valley, right?
I did.
Okay, good.
And then I told them that they do have some concerns with the amount of commercial that we want up there. And I said, anything that comes can come to the city council, that development agreement, with your approval, can be changed if needed.
Who makes the CITLA have authority to make decisions on the density on the CITLA property, or is that our decision?
It's our decision, but part of the deal that we talked with and part of the deal with them selling that property was affordability.
Right.
And we told them at the time it could be as much as 10% of the project. So there's going to be an element of affordability out there somehow.
On the whole project.
Just 10% of the whole project.
Yeah.
Well, just we control what we want, but just a civil property. We control what goes on around there. There's no promises or anything to that. But the commercial part is where there's going to be some discussion, and I said, well, they can come in and propose what they want and all that stuff. But I suspect, and D.R. Horton has an arm of their development that they do individual houses and stuff. They just obviously prefer not to. They want to cram as many in there as they can. But you guys will ultimately have control over that.
Do you know what the timeline is?
They're in contact with D.R. Horton now and working together. There won't be any houses start building up there for probably 2 years because of all the infrastructure. They've got to build a water tank, and that's going to go on the property that's the credit union owned property, but it will service both.
And you say
I suspect there'll be a couple months they'll come and start talking to us about what's a possibility.
I thought you said in the next few weeks that they wanted to meet with us.
I was being realistic. They always say we'll be there in a few weeks, and it turns into a few months usually. But it could be. I don't know how quick they. But Grenoble is all they want to do is prepare sites. That works good with D.R. Horton, because D.R. Horton, all they want to do is build high houses. Mm-hmm. So I think the potential is there, but there's a lot. I know the school district wants to talk with them. I'm sure the LDS Church will have discussions with them and maybe others. I know the city is going to want to have some open spaces up there and some parks, and this will be stuff. And I talked to our Zion Bank, you know, what they represented. He was just in my office today, and he says, you can negotiate with them and get some stuff that you want as well in the deal. And if it's a trail, there was talk of maybe putting lights on that L up there and then providing something for that. It just depends on what you want. Now, it's got a pencil out for them as well, but we can make them put, which we should, parks, and if it's the time that you want to get some pickleball courts or something like that, that can be part of the open space that we have them put in, because they're going to want that stuff anyway up there. But we can, their place out to Long Valley is just the people out there, and we can determine that it's got to be for the whole community. So.
Okay, that's it?
That's it.
Hey, do you have anything? Nothing? Okay. Next item is citizen comments. No comments?
I've been banned. I've already told you that.
Okay. Sounds like we stand adjourned.
You know what?
Thanks, everybody.
Golf course would be good.
How soon you say coming out there?
Yeah, I think it's a commercial for a while.
It is.
You want to introduce that?
Yeah, Houston.